And welcome once again to the Jewish Activist Network. I'm Joe Orlo, your host, on this sixth night of Hanukkah.
Welcome and thank you very much for being with us tonight. Our phone number is 718-569-0921. Again, 718-569-0921. And with tonight, as Joe said, this is the sixth night of Hanukkah. We're going to speak a little bit about Hanukkah. And the way I'm going to start off is by reading through the Al Hanisim that we all say. Al Hanisim means for the miracles. For the miracles that were performed for us in those days, in this season. And we're going to analyze it, and we're going to learn a few different points about what Hanukkah is really about. What do we learn from Hanukkah? And then I'm going to read a little bit from an article about what Hanukkah is not about. You may call in if you have any comments. And we also have somebody who, on the day of Hanukkah, there are people actually going up to the spot where a lot of the action took place on Hanukkah. And we hopefully, the person will be there on the Harabayit and will talk to us from the Harabayit. I can't guarantee it, but I hope that's going to happen. So this is placed inside the blessing of Modim, giving thanks. And also for the, and I quote, and also for the miracles and the mighty deeds and the salvation and the comforts and the wars that you did for our fathers in those days in this season. In the days of Matathiyahu, the son of Yochanan, the high priest. Chashmonai, he was a Chashmonai, that is part of his name, and his children. When the kingdom of Greece, the wicked Greek kingdom, stood up against your people Israel to make them forget your law, your Torah, and to make them transgress your statutes. And you, in your great kindness, stood up for them in the time of their trouble. You fought their fight. You judged their judgment. You avenged their revenge. You gave over the mighty into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, the unclean into the hands of the clean, the evil into the hands of the righteous, the wanton who did things purposely into the hands of those who dealt in your law, in your Torah. And for yourself, you made a great and holy name in your world. And for your people Israel, you made a great salvation, as is this day. And after that, your children came into your holy abode. They cleaned out the courtyard. They cleaned out your temple, and they purified it, and they lit candles in your holy courtyards. And they set and decided that there will be 8 days of Hanukkah, these 8 days of Hanukkah, to praise and to give glory to your great name. This is what we say in Shemoneh Esrei. This is what we've been saying for generations on Hanukkah. So what is Hanukkah? What exactly is Hanukkah?
And also in the grace after meals, in the benching, we say.
That's right, in the grace after meals. And it's for this reason that we light the candles, to spread the nes. It's called Pasume Nisla, to spread out the nes, to let people know. And because of that, we light candles inside our houses, by the windows, or outside by the doors, in certain places, where people could see it, and they can know that it is Hanukkah. For that reason also, Hanukkah lights are lit. Chabad, I know, goes around and they light them publicly display them at big mitzvah that they do, and so that people can see all around that it's Hanukkah. So what's the story of Hanukkah? The story is that during the times of the Second Temple, this is a few generations before the Romans, the Greeks were split up. This is after Alexander the Great. His kingdom was split up into a few other kingdoms. And one of them was the Greek-Syrian part of his empire, which now was separate than the other parts. And they wanted to come in. They came into Israel, and they demanded that the Jewish people stop serving God, but they should serve idols. Why? Because they wanted Israel to be like the other nations also. All the other nations should be subservient under one religion. the religion of idolatry. But the Jewish people didn't like that, and they were very oppressed, and people didn't know what to do. There were many, many stories that happened during those times. The one story I'm going to tell you is about Mattathiahu, the high priest. He was a high priest in Jerusalem, in the temple, on the Temple Mount. And the story goes, this is one of the straws that broke the camel's back, but there were many, many straws, so this is not the only thing that happened. A Greek garrison with a soldier came to Modi'in, the place where Mattathiahu lived. And there were a lot of towns and cities, and they were going constantly from town to town, and they were telling the residents to bow down to an idol. And they erected an idol in the public square, and they demanded, and they were asking that Jewish people come forward and bow down. Who's going to be the first one? Who's going to be the first one to bow down so everybody could see that? And nobody wanted to come forward until somebody stepped forward, and they said, okay, I'm going to bow down. And Mattathiahu, the high priest, saw that, and he realized that something has to be done. He took his sword, and he killed the person. He killed the Jewish person who's going to bow down to the idol. And he and a few others, they killed all the Syrian Greek soldiers that were there, forcing them.
So the first casualty...
And then they said, who is for God?
The first casualty...
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then they said, and then he raised his arm and said, who's for God? Come to me. Mi l'Hashem Eloi. The same thing that that Moshe, our leader Moshe, said, and the B'nai Levi, the children of Levi, answered him all the way back in the times of Chumash.
So we see that the first casualty of this revolt, of this fight that Mattathiahu took on was a Jew. It was a battle of Jew against Jew.
Right. And it was a Jew against Jew, of course, with pressure from the outside, and they were going along with the kingdom and the power and the government that was there at the time. And they gathered to him groups of people who said, we're going to be with you. We're not going to stand for this. And they ran and they started a war. They started fighting against the army, the Syrian Greek army in different places. It took a few years. And finally, they drove them out. And by the time they got to Jerusalem, and they drove them out of Jerusalem in the Holy Temple, they found that the temple was, everything was defiled. The oil, many, many oils, flasks of oil, which have to be put into the menorah, which have to be pure, were defiled. They were impure. But they did find one flask of oil with the seal of the high priest. And that meant that that was not broken, and that was pure oil. And they could actually light the menorah. But the only problem is that there was only enough light for one day. But they figured we have to light, we're going to light it immediately and start the process of making new oil. Now, the process of making new oil takes a number of days. In fact, it took 8 days because they would have to take the grape, take the olives, they would have to crush them, get the oil out, and after they get the oil out, they would have to make sure they have to sift it, they have to make sure the oil is the proper oil, very pure, and it took about 8 days to do that. In the meantime, they lit the menorah, and lo and behold, the menorah kept burning for 8 days until the new oil was burnt. Even though really it was enough for one day, it burned for a full 8 days. And that was a sign to them that God was with them the whole time. And when they saw that, they decided they're going to set up now an eight-day festival of Hanukkah to remind everybody of the great miracles that were done. So what's important to realize is that this miracle is about the wars and about the fact that God helped us to get out the enemy that was driving us away from keeping the Torah and worshiping God. So what we learn from that here is that, A, we must take action. Look at Mattathiahu, look at the band. They took action. They didn't say, let's sit back and God will help. A lot of times we hear today people saying, what can you do? God will help. That's true. That's something to say when there's nothing you can do. If there's absolutely nothing you can do, then it's understandable. The times when we were in the exile, there's absolutely nothing we could do. We're still in the exile to a certain extent. But at the time when we were in Europe, time we were not able to do anything, you couldn't even raise your head because we were so under the subjugation. At this time, we are still partially, but there's a lot of things you can do. According to what you can do, you have to do. Number two, when it says that Hashem does miracles, it means through our actions. Let's analyze these words over here. First, it says, "Our nisim are perfect." On the miracles and on the wars of our mochamos that you did for our fathers. So first of all, we're praising God that He did wars for us. When one reads that, one might think, oh, God did it and we did nothing. But then when you just look a little bit later, you see, in the times of Marcus Yod, the son of Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, and when the Greeks went and they were stopping us from keeping the Torah, it says, again, referring to God, you fought their fight. You judged their judgment. You gave over the mighty to the hands of the weak, the many to the hands of the small, of the few, the unclean to the hands of the clean, the wicked to the hands of the righteous. Now clearly, Matas Yoho, and we know that for a fact, and even over here saying they went and they fought, they did everything they could, but God helped them. So when we do things, when it says many, many times in the Chumash also, God will fight for you, Moshe told them in Israel, God will fight for you, don't be scared. So what does it mean God will fight for you? Does that mean they're not supposed to go into fight for Israel? Of course, that's the whole point. He's warning them, they better go and fight. And when God will help them, God is doing it. That's a very, very important point we have to understand. Never make the mistake when you learn, this is for learning's sake, when you learn in the Chumash, or in the Navi, or in the Gemara, wherever it is, that God will do something, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Not at all. Not at all. In fact, if you don't do anything, God will not help. So number three, it is wrong to say that Hashem will take care of what is necessary while we sit idly by. And next, when we act and God's help are successful, it is a sanctification of God's name. As it says over here at the end. And you made, and for yourself you made, L'chos Yis Hashem, God of HaKadosh Baal HaMecha. And for you, you made a great and holy name in your world. And for the people of Israel, you made a great salvation as it is this day. So, those two things go hand in hand. When we are sanctified, and we are successful, and we raise up God's name, and those who raise up God's name are successful, that is a sanctification of God's name. That is a Kiddush Hashem. And finally, terrible tragedies can occur as a result of our inaction. In the case of Hanukkah, who knows what would have happened? The Beis Hamikdash would have still been, would have been destroyed at that time, and there would have been a great scattering hundreds of years earlier. And because of what they did, they led Israel for many generations in righteousness, and we have to learn from them. And that's why there was a holiday set up.
One of the things that comes to my mind is that, according to my understanding, they could have used the impure oil. They didn't have to wait the 8 days, but they wanted, as they were rededicating the Beis Hamikdash after it had been in ruins for a number of years, and they had fought these miraculous wars, they wanted to come in, and they wanted to do everything at the highest, most idealistic and purest level. They wanted to set the Jewish people back on track in the best way possible.
Right. And also it's important that people realize that the lighting and the candles, that's just a sign. It was just a sign for all the miracles that were done, that God did for us in those days in terms of defying the wars. Because that was the main miracle that we're talking about. In fact, the candles are not even mentioned in the Al Nisan. Is that interesting? It doesn't mention that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was just a sign. It was just a similar dover.
Doesn't it mention at the end there that the in the Chatzros, I don't have my copy here.
The Chatzros?
It doesn't mention the candles.
Yeah, it does mention it. It just mentions that it says they cleaned it out and they lit the candles in your holy courtyards.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. With that mention, if somebody would read it for the first time, they'll think, okay, they lit candles, or they did karbanos, and they did other things. But you're right. It does specify that they lit candles. And they're holy, so it's like a hint to it.
But the focus on the, as far as the miraculous part, when it says Al Nisim, the focus is on the wars and the battles themselves, and that's the battle which continues, I think, and why they set the holiday up, why they had the foresight to set the holiday up, because this is a battle that continues in every generation, and I would even go as far as a battle that continues inside of us as we live here in the exile. The story of Hanukkah happened in the land of Israel, but we, living in the exile, have carried on this holiday of Hanukkah. And, you know, as we grow up in, say, the United States, there's a lot of influences from the culture around us. So even I can say within myself, there's always this battle of a part of me which is drawn to the general culture and the part of me which is attracted to the Torah and serving Hashem. And I guess eight days a year, we collectively as a nation, we focus on that battle. We manifest itself. We light the candles and we strengthen ourselves.
Right. Now, there's an interesting article, which I'd like to read. I'll start reading from, and I'll take callers while I'm reading it. 718-569-0921. And if you'd like to get emails regarding what our future shows and what the topics will be, send an email to media@jewishactivistnetwork.com. Just spell it out straight. jewishactivistnetwork.com. Just say you'd like to be on the email list, and you will be on. Now, I'd like to read a little bit from an interesting article by Rabbi Meir Kahana. And it's really talking about what Hanukkah is not about. A mistake and a fraud, a real fraud that is perpetrated on Jewish people who just don't know, by leadership, that unfortunately doesn't know anything about Hanukkah whatsoever, and they twist the whole concept of Hanukkah to what it's not. And let me just begin reading from that, because it's an interesting and a sad article, but very, very interesting. And again, if you send me an email, I could send you a link to this article too. media@jewishactivistnetwork.com. 718-569-0921. There with Hanukkah. This was written December 15th, 1972, by Rabbi Meir Kahana. And it begins, if I were a reform rabbi, if I were a leader of the establishment whose money and prestige have succeeded in capturing for him the leadership and voice of American Jewry, if I were one of the members of the Israeli government's ruling group, if I were an enlightened, educated, modern Jewish intellectual, I would climb the barricades and join in a battle against the most dangerous of all Jewish holidays, Hanukkah. It is a measure of the total ignorance of the world Jewish community that there is no holiday that is more universally celebrated than the Feast of Lights. And it is an equal measure of the intellectual dishonesty and of Jewish leadership that it plays along with a lie. For if ever there was a holiday that stands for everything that the mass of world Jewry and their leadership has rejected, it is this one. If one would find an event that is truly rooted in everything that Jews of our times and their leaders have rejected and indeed attacked, it is this one. If there is any holiday that is more un-Jewish in the sense of our modern beliefs and practices, I do not know of it. The Hanukkah that has erupted into the Jewish world scene, into the Jewish world scene, in all its childishness, asininity, shallowness, ignorance, and fraud, is not the Hanukkah of reality. It is the Hanukkah that came into vogue because of Jewish parents, in their vapidness, needed something to counteract Christmas, that exploded in a show of, quote, we can have lights, just garish neighbors, and in an effort to reward our spoiled children with 8 gifts instead of the poor Christian one gift. The Hanukkah that the temple, under its captive rabbi, turned into a school pageant so that the beaming parents might think that the religious school is really successful instead of the tragic choke and waste that it really is. The Hanukkah then speaks of Jewish Patrick Henry's giving me liberty or death, and the pictures of Maccabees as great liberal saviors who fought so that the kibbutzim might continue to be free to preach their marks and eat their ham, that the split-level dwellers of suburbia might be allowed to violate the Sabbath in perfect freedom, and the Reform and Conservative temples continue to fight for civil rights for blacks, Puerto Ricans, and Jane Fonda, is not remotely connected with reality. This is not the Hanukkah of our ancestors, of the generations of Jews of Eastern Europe and Yemen and Morocco and the Crusades and Spain and Babylon. It is surely not the Hanukkah for which the Maccabees themselves died. Truly, could those whom we honor so munificently return and see what Hanukkah has become, they might very well begin a second Maccabean revolt. for the life that we Jews lead today was the very real cause, the real reason for the revolt of the Jews in those days and our times. What happened in that era more than 2,000 years ago? What led a handful of Jews to rise up in violence against the enemy? And presently, and precisely, who was the enemy? What were they fighting for? And who were they fighting against? For years, the people of Judea had been vassals of Greece. True independence as a state had been unknown for all those decades. And yet, the Jews did not rise up in revolt. It was only when the Greek policy shifted from mere political control to one that attempted to suppress the Jewish religion that the revolt erupted in all its bloodiness. It was not mere liberty that led the Maccabean uprising that we so passionately applaud. What we are really cheering is a brave group of Jews who fought and plunged Judea into a bloodbath for the right to observe the Sabbath, to follow the laws of Kashrut, to obey the laws of the Torah. In a word, everything about Hanukkah that we commemorate and teach our children to commemorate are things we consider to be outmoded, medieval, and childish. At best, then, those who fought and died for Hanukkah were naive and obscurantist. Had we lived in those days, we would certainly not have done what they did. For everyone knows that the laws of the Torah are not really divine, but only the products of evolution of men. Do not the Reform, Reconstructionists, and large parts of the conservative movement write this daily? Surely we would not have fought for that which we violate every day of our lives? No. At best, Hanukkah emerges as a needless holiday, if not a foolish one. Poor Hannah and her seven children. Poor Mother Theo and Judah. Poor well-meaning chaps, all, but hopelessly backward and utterly unnecessary sacrifices. But there is more. Not only is Hanukkah really a foolish and unnecessary holiday, it is also one that is dangerously fanatical and illiberal. The first act of rebellion, the first enemy who fell at the hands of the brave Jewish heroes, whom our delightful children portray so cleverly in their Sunday and religious school pageants, was not a Greek. He was a Jew. When the enemy sent his troops into the town of Modin to set up an idol and demand its worship, it was a Jew who decided to exercise his freedom of pagan worship and who approached the altar to worship Zeus. After all, what business was it of anyone what this fellow worshipped? And it was this Jew, this apostate, this religious traitor, who was struck down by the brave, glorious, courageous, in parentheses, are those not the words of all our Sunday schools used to describe him? Courageous Mount Sion, as he shouted, "Whoever is for God, follow me." What have we here? What kind of religious intolerance and bigotry? What kind of man is this for the anti-religious of a Shomat Tzair, the graceful temples of suburbia, the sophisticated intellectuals, the liberal-minded Jews, and all the drones who have wearied us out to death with the concept of Judaism as a humanistic, open-minded, undogmatic, liberal, universalistic, if not Marxist, religion to honor? What kind of nationalism is this for David Ben-Gurion? He who rejects the Gullah and speaks of the proud free Jew of ancient Judea and Israel. And to crush us even more, parentheses, we know that Judaism is a faith of peace which deplores violence. What kind of Jews were these who reacted to oppression with force? Surely we, who so promptly have deplored Jewish violence as fascistic, immoral, and above all, un-Jewish, stand in horror as we contemplate Jews who declined to pick the Syrian Greeks to death and rejected quiet diplomacy for the sword, spear, and arrow. Had there been bombs in those days, who can tell what they might have done? And, quote, descended to the level of evil, thus rejecting the ethical and moral concepts of Judaism. Is this the kind of holiday we wish to propagate? Are these the kinds of men we want our moral and humanistic children to honor? Is this the kind of Judaism that we wish to observe and pass to our children? Where shall we find the man of courage, the one voice in the wilderness, to cry out against Hanukkah and the Judaism that it represents, the Judaism of our grandparents and ancestors? Where shall we find the man of honesty and integrity to attack the Judaism of medievalism and outdated foolishness? The Judaism of bigotry that strikes down Jews who refuse to observe the law. The Judaism of violence that calls for Jewish force and might against the enemy. When shall we find the courage to proudly eat our Chinese food and violate its Sabbaths and reject all of the separateness, nationalism, and religious maximalism that Hanukkah so nobly represents? Down with Hanukkah! It is a regressive holiday that merely symbolizes the Judaism that always was, the Judaism that was handed down to us from Sinai, the Judaism that made our ancestors ready to give their lives for the Lord, the Judaism that young people instinctively know is true and great and real. Such Judaism is dangerous for us and our leaders. We must do all in our power to bury it. That is the article, Down with Hanukkah by Rebbe Americano. How sad it is. What Hanukkah is all about is directly opposed to what the leaders, the Reform, the Constructionists, many parts of the conservative movement, and many ignorant Jews out there, it's against their values. They don't have the values of Judaism. And the fact that they're celebrating Hanukkah and they twist it around into what it's not, that is the horror. Anybody out there who listens and listens to this, I implore you, look into what Hanukkah is really about. Understand the true history of Hanukkah. You can learn that. There's many learning. You could call us if you need help. If you want to get more references, 718-569-0921, media@jewishactivistnetwork.com.
In our prayers, when we mention Hanukkah, we say, Bayamim Hahem Bazman Hazeh, in those days, in this season. And the battles continue today, and we're going to be online. And when we go off the air on WSNR AM 620 in about 3 minutes, we're going to continue our program through the internet online. And you can listen in at JewishActivistNetwork.com. Go to the website JewishActivistNetwork.com and click on the link there to listen. And we'll continue talking about how the battles of Hanukkah continue today. In London, there's a Jewish school, and the school did not want to admit a child that the school considered not to be Jewish. In the United States, we have, in England, they have you have what is analogous to the Orthodox is called the United Synagogue, and they have another group which is called Progressive, which might be analogous, say, to Reform in the United States to some extent. And, just as you were reading and talking about how they don't really embrace the message of Torah True Judaism, what they did is someone brought a lawsuit trying to force this school to take a child that is not considered Jewish according to Jewish tradition, Jewish halacha. And the Supreme Court in England, in Great Britain, supported that case and told the school they have to, not only that, they said that the school was in violation of racism laws for not accepting this child who is not considered Jewish.
Listen, this is also a result of people taking no action whatsoever when these type of racism laws are brought against Gahat in Israel. One thing leads to the other. And people are just very empathetic in general. So this is also the message of Hanukkah. If you see something happening, you have to do something. And you have to support, certainly have to support those who do something. And it shouldn't be that there's quietness around. Because when it's quiet and you sit idly by and you say God will help, God will not help. In fact, there will be tragedy. If you say, well, the Jewish people won't be destroyed, it's true, they won't be destroyed. But God forbid the whole nation won't be destroyed. There will always be somebody left. But who says that you're going to survive? You and your children? Who knows? So you have to do everything you can.
The great irony of this case. The great irony of this
case.
Okay, go ahead. Yes. We'll continue now for about another 20 seconds. We have to fight, and we encourage everybody to take up the fight of Matisyahu and the Hashmonaim, and those of us here who try in our modest way to continue in their role by putting on our radio show. We encourage everyone to be part of the Jewish Activist Network and call in, email us, and be part of what we do. And tune in again next week, Wednesday night at 12:30 a.m. for the Jewish Activist Network.